Hey everybody, this is Dr. Tom Pritchard, head coach at JPWA Jacobs Pritchard Wrestling Academy, and you are listening to The Ringside Rant.
Welcome back to The Ringside Rant, and welcome to Ranters Nation. I have the honor of sitting down with a man that I had to actually go back and look. It was a year ago in May. I can't believe it. He is the one, the only. He's James Anthony. What's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, man? How you been doing?
Man, before we got on, it's been one hell of a week. Very hot up here. I'm sure you're used to the heat being down there in North Carolina, but unfortunately, this guy is not. When work trucks are over 100 degrees and you drink about 120 ounces of water a day, it's tough, but, you know, got through it and glad to finally... looking forward to this all week and looking forward to, sitting down chatting with you again and watching some great wrestling.
Yes, sir. I've been looking forward to it. Like you said, it's been a whole, almost a year. I think the last time we talked, my son was just born. Now he's walking and talking and driving me crazy.
Well, like I told you before, when we just chat every once in a while, like we have been, it's just like, dude, just wait, man. Mine's eight. He just turned eight in April. And, just once they become mobile, once they start talking, it's over, man. It's over because, my son, he's eight. I think he's like 18 and thinks he runs the place. And 9 times out of 10, he usually does. But yeah, it's weird, man. Just looking and seeing pictures you guys got on Facebook there. And I'm like, holy God, how is he that big already?
Dude, it's crazy because I was telling somebody not too long ago, I was like, when he turned 6 months, I felt like time started going slow. And the next thing you know, it was Christmas. And then it was his birthday. And then it was my birthday. I turned 33 in March. And then it was his birthday in May. And he was walking at 9, 10 months. And he's saying, Dad, Dad now. And I come home from work. And when he hears the key in the door, he runs to the gate, screams, Dad, Dad, puts his arms up. So I love it, man. Like I said, the first couple of weeks and the first month for me were the hardest, but things got easier, and now now he's getting older. So, things get a little more fun, we can interact a little bit and, but I've been enjoying it, man. I've always wanted to be a dad. My real dad wasn't there for me when I was growing up. We actually got back in contact some years ago and we were starting to build back a relationship. So, it just feels good, man. The way this world is right now, kids, especially boys, they need their fathers around. So, it's my responsibility to be the man in his life and to teach him right and wrong. So, it's just been a blessing. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
No, yeah, I know a lot of my brother had his third kid last year, about I want to say, or should I say early this year? Excuse me, and. He's going cuckoo as it is. He's got three kids under five and under. And, but yeah, I just tell him, even when he had my nephew there, his first son, I said, dude, just wait, man. He gets to that 5, 6, 7, 8 time there when, you actually like to hang out with you and he likes to hang out with his dad until, give it another 10 years. But, going to ball games, I got my son into wrestling, I got him. It's been great. I actually went to on my way home. I went for figure hunting to Target, and I got one of the new Christian figures, the Elites. And I'm like, all right, I can't go to Target and get something for myself and not get something for Gavin. So I ended up getting him one of his favorite wrestlers is Aleister Black, and I actually I didn't force it on him, but I've kind of like hinted at it. And his two favorite wrestlers are Aleister Black and Ricochet.
Okay, and those aren't bad picks.
No, not at all. Like I said, I kind of nudged him in that direction, but I can't find Ricochets anywhere. So I'm like, okay, there's an Aleister Black was like the last one. I'm like, all right, I got to give it to him. And ever since then, he's like, oh man, he's so excited. He's sleeping with it. And I'm like, now that's, for better use of terms, that's my boy.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't got to that stage yet, but it was pretty fun. I took him with me on the road a couple of weeks ago. I went to Tennessee for the weekend, and I took him with me, and that was fun. He doesn't really understand, but you know, just having him with me and, you know, and just traveling with me and, you know, watching him run around the hotel and everything. It's so much fun. And, you know, I just can't wait for the day to come where it's like, Daddy, can I have this? Can I have that? And, you know, most of the time it's probably going to be a no, but, you know, majority of the time we know it's going to be yeses too. But like I said, I love it, man. You know, I've realized, I understand why it's not for everybody because it is a big responsibility. You know, kids do cost a lot of money. They need a lot of, you know, things in life. But, you know, like I said, you know, those are things I can get over. You know, I even told my girlfriend Hannah before he got here, I was like, you know, if I don't eat, as long as he eats, that's all I care about. You know, that's the only thing I care about. As long as he has, I can care less, you know. So, but like I said, you know, it's been a blessing. It's been so much fun. You know, it's nothing, like I said, it's just nothing more, nothing warms my heart more than when I come home and he raises his arms and says, Dad, and I pick him up. And then, you know, when I'm sitting down, he comes up on the couch, he wants to lay with me. And, you know, like I said, those are just moments that, you know, we'll both always remember. Because, you know, there is going to come a time where he's going to want to do his own thing. And, you know, so I just like to cherish all the moments that I have with him right now.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, even my 8-year-old, like I said, it's like you get that point where it's hard to explain unless you're a dad or a father or a father in general. And like you said, he runs up to you when you get home or he gets home, whoever gets home first or whatever. But it's one of those things where I don't know. You know, when we were kids, you know, it was definitely a different world. Now it's just like, okay, now we got to be so mindful of how we do things, how we raise them, how, you know, what they see. Because they've seen, in their lifetime, they're going to see a hell of a lot more than we did.
Oh, yes, yes, for sure.
And that's, you know, part of it could be the sad part, but it also could be a good part, too, because you end up learning a lot, you know, a lot from people. But, now, you said you went down to Tennessee. Was that for a show or?
Yeah, we had went, me and a friend of mine, Kate and Pierre, we had went down to Tennessee. We had, I wasn't even booked to do anything that weekend. Caden had hit me up and he had asked me what was I doing Saturday. And I was like, nothing, man. Why, what's up? And he was like, you know, would you mind driving me down to Tennessee? And I'll give you gas money, whatever, whatever. And I told him, well, there is a show that's running that Friday that I wanted to go check out. One of the promoters wanted me to come out to help him out with the show. And I was like, so if you want, we can just leave Friday. We'll get down there set. We'll leave Friday. And, you know, we'll just spend the whole weekend. So we ended up going down. We left Friday afternoon, got to Tennessee, checked to our hotel, went to the show. And we just walked in, you know, spoke to everybody. And the promoter was like, no, you guys got your gear? We were like, yeah, why, what's up? And he was like, I had some cancellations. I want to put you guys on the show. So we ended up getting on the show. Mm-hmm. We wrestled these two new younger guys, JC Adams and I forget the guy's other name. The other guy's name. But they were both new with talent. And, you know, we went in there, made them look good. And, you know, the promoter from another show was there. And he was impressed with what he saw. So we got booked for his show in a couple of weeks. You know, the next night, I took Caden over to the show that he was doing. And I was able to get on that show. So, you know, we had that fun little weekend, you know, that weekend. You know, me and Caden have become really close. You know, he's pretty much still new to the business himself. He's only got about, I want to say, 2 or 3 years in. You know, he's a gay talent, and he found it very hard in the beginning, you know, trying to, you know, wrestle and, you know, he was a little worried about, you know, people making fun of him or finding it hard to be in a locker room because of his sexuality. And, you know, I was one of the first guys to really, like, you know, because I'll admit in the beginning, I kind of judged him. And, you know, if somebody would have told me that 2 years later, we would have become, like, really, really close friends, you know, I wouldn't believe them. But, you know, he's a really good talent that I really can see getting signed to a major company one day. Like I said, he's very open about his sexuality. A lot of promoters respect that and they like that about him. He doesn't take any crap from anybody. And that's just the way you got to be now in this business, you know. But, you know, wrestling has a place for everybody, you know. And he's, like I said, he's different. You know, he's this is not a gimmick for him. This is what he does 24/7. So he finds it pretty easy in the ring. He finds it pretty easy being who he is because he's being real. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of the fans respect that about him. A lot of fans kind of like that about him, that he's real, that he's not playing a character, he's being himself. You know, he has run into some situations and some issues with certain people and certain fans, but, you know, people are going to say stuff about you. People are going to judge you regardless, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they can't take away your talent. They can't deny your talent in the ring, your charisma. So, you know, like I said, I mean, just be on the lookout for Caden Pierre. He's going to really do some big things in this business over the next couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely check him out too to see what kind of work he's putting out there. But yeah, it's like I said before, it's now I think now is the best time to be in the business because there's so much out there. But at the same time, you know, you have to worry about, you know, who's, you know, you don't know who's next to you. You don't know, you know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, you don't, you know, who you're in the locker room with, or you don't know who's out, you know, in the audience or whatever. So you kind of have to protect yourself. But on the other side of the coin, you know who your two friends are in that aspect.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, you know, he's had to, you know, deal with some pretty shady stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've had many talks in the car. You know, he's asked me some questions and, you know, he told me some things. It's like I told him, you know, just keep being who you are, man. You know, don't change anything up. You know, just do you, you know, because that's what they're looking for nowadays. They want somebody who's real. They want somebody who's not playing the character. They want somebody who is the character, you know. So, you know, like I said, this is just a shady, at times it can be a shady business. Fans can be jerks, you know. I remember a certain fan at a show. You know, they didn't like the way he wears his gear. You know, and it was they wanted me to talk to the promoter about kicking him off the show because they didn't like the way that his butt hung out of his wrestling gear. They didn't think it was appropriate for that type of show. And my response back to that guy was, well, I didn't hear you complaining when the girls were out here the past couple of shows with their butts hanging out. So what's the difference, you know? So sometimes you just got to put people in their place and let them see, you know, everybody's different. So, you know, that fan no longer comes to that show now. But, you know, one person not coming will bring in five or six more people, so.
Right. Right. And people that actually want to, you know, take the time out of their schedule, take the money out of their pocket to come and see the great, you know, great independent wrestling, especially down there in North Carolina, South Carolina, the Southern states there. There's some great independent wrestling down there, great independent wrestlers as well.
Exactly.
But yeah, we've had the same, we have a wrestler up here in New York, Anthony Gaines, who's came out this past year or two in the same manner. And, you know, he is one of the nicest, most genuine guys to be in a locker room with. Every single when we have been running shows up here, you know, every time I see him, hey, how are you? Handshake, give him a hug. You know, how are things? You know, shooting the shit with him. You know, how's the family? How's the kid? Blah, blah, blah. You know, couldn't be the nicest. And I'm like, he just gets so much, you know, stuff that I've seen at his shows. And it's just not right. You know what I mean? It's just like, you got to. And I told him, I said, dude, do you, man. Don't worry about everybody else.
Exactly.
Like, he's getting himself over. He's himself. His character, he doesn't play a character. He plays himself. And that's what drives him.
And that's the same thing with Caden. You know, it's not, you know, in the beginning, I thought it was a character. I thought it was a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And the more I got to know him, the more I would watch him around the locker rooms, I realized, oh, this is real life. You know, this is what he does for real. So it's become natural for him. It's become easy for him. And that's what I told him. I said, dude, people are going to hate you because are you. You don't have to play somebody. Who you are in the ring is who you are every day, 24/7. The person that somebody else is at a show, that's who they are for 20, 30 minutes, you know, and then they're going to go right back to being John Doe. You know, you're mm-hmm. Caden Pierre every day, 24/7. So you're going to find it easier. You're going to probably get more opportunities. So, you know, it's just don't worry about what other people say. Just focus on you. And he's done that, you know, and he's realized over the past couple of years who his real friends are, who he can trust, who he can't trust. And, you know, like I said, it shouldn't be that way, but, you know, it's been that way for years. You know, there's been many stories about guys like Chris Canyon who was scared to come out. because of what the boys might think, because of how they might treat them, you know, and you know, that you shouldn't have to feel that way. You know, you should have to, you know, be afraid to act a certain way or be a certain way because somebody might treat you differently. You know, I was just talking at work not that long ago. I was telling somebody, you know, since I've worked at Enterprise at the airport out here in Raleigh, North Carolina, I've been there since 2014. And since I've been there, you know, a lot of my coworkers have been gay. You know, a lot of them have been lesbians. And, you know, I've never treated them any different. You know, I treated them with the same amount of respect as I would treat anybody else. You know, and I remember some of them would always be like, you treat me so nice. You treat me so, you know, with so much respect. You know, why is that? And it's like, because, you know, I treat people the way I want to be treated, you know, and as a father now, you know, I want my son to treat people with the same respect he'd want to be treated with. You know, don't not be friends with somebody because they're different. You know, everybody's supposed to be, we're all supposed to be different. We're all supposed to look different, talk different, act different. You know, that's what makes people, you know, that's what makes people good friends, you know, opposites attract, you know. So, you know, like I said, it's just, you know, it's a lot to deal with, but like I said, it's just the world we live in, you know. But like I said, you know, I mean, you know, he's a great talent, so, you know, just watch out because he's really going to have some good things come out over the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Definitely give him a shout out and whatnot on try to find him on social media there. But, you know, to bring up with being in fatherhood now, both you and I, you know, it's hard. You know, my son was asking me the other day about we're watching AEW. And it kind of goes along the lines of what we're talking about with Caden is, you know, we're watching Sonny Kiss. And I said, dude, he is one. I've met Sonny in person. He did a show up here. And couldn't be nicest person in general. And he's asking, "Oh, Daddy, what's going on with this? Why is he doing that?" So, buddy, that's how, you know, that's him. That's him. That's what he does. And forgive me if I don't, there's been so much flack with, you know, JR on AEW calling Sonny a he, then calling him a she. I personally, I'm like, it's up to whatever JR and Sonny, you know, that's between them. Don't let everybody else try to, you know, dismiss what was said, what wasn't said, what have you. But it's just hard, man. Just trying to now explain to my son, and I'm sure you'll see it once, you know, Isaiah gets a little bit older, is how to explain to him why this happened or why that happened or why this person did that or didn't do that. But yeah, it's just weird, man. It's hard now because now it's starting to, a lot of things are happening.
Yeah. And I've met Sonny on several occasions. We were actually on a show last year, WrestleMania weekend, when they did WrestleMania in Jersey, and we were talking and I wrestled Ricky Reyes. And it's crazy because Ricky Reyes and Sonny Kiss were actually going to help me try to get on with Lucha Underground that year. But, you know, Lucha Underground folded like right after WrestleMania last year. And, you know, so, you know, I've met Sonny on several occasions. He's a nice guy. You know? I've never treated him any different. He's a nice guy. He's a great talent. The first time I saw him was, I want to say, I think it was 2016 or 2017. We did a show. Excuse me. Me and Victor and some friends tried out for a New Japan tryout. And we went out there to the tryout that Friday. Yeah, it was that Friday we did the tryout. And then there was a show that Saturday. And that was the first time we saw Sonny Kiss. And, you know, when he came out, I thought it was a gimmick. And I was like, okay, this is different. This is new. But I thought it was a girl at first. But then when I saw him take his shirt off, I realized, oh, that's a dude. I'm like, okay. It's different. And he could work, you know. And, you know, I had no idea that he would blow up the way he did. Because a year later, he was on Lucha. And then here he is 2 years later, he's on AEW, you know, and now here he is next week challenging for the TNT championship. So, you know, again, being different, being you, being who you are, you know, you don't know. You never know who you're going to be in the locker room with, who could be on TV a year later, you know. And I, like I said, I was on shows with Sonny 4 or 5 different times over the past couple of years. And like I said, he's a very nice guy. You know, I've never seen anybody treat him any different. You know, mm-hmm. I've always been well respected for him. Like I said, he was going to try to help me get on Lucha. You know, we had talked that day. We had talked the day at that show. He told me when I got back home to get in contact with him, I'd hit him up. They're having some issues right now that they're hoping to have a season for. If they do, he would definitely let them know to get in contact with me so I can fly out there and try to get a dark match. And, you know, he was cool about it, you know. A couple of weeks went by, and he was like, yeah, man, it looks like Lucha's not coming back out. So, you know, right now, let's just, you know, I'll see what I can do by getting you on some other stuff later on down the road. So, you know, like I said, I've always been very grateful and thankful for him because, like I said, this is a guy that was going to help me try to get on a bigger platform myself. So, you know, like I said, he's a good dude. You know, I'm excited for him. I'm excited for him. I'm looking forward to watching him next week, see what he's going to do. So, and I'm looking forward to see what he's going to do not only just in AEW, but in wrestling in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially the times that it's, you know, that it is now just with the virus going on. And I know, you know, well, like we talked about previous where you've seen it firsthand in your household. But the way that there's always wrestling there. And I think, you know, to begin with, they got a lot of slack, whether it be WWE, AEW, any of these promotions that were still running. And I think Impact ended up coming back too. But, you know, everything that's come back, at the end of the day, there's always wrestling. There may not be baseball, and it may not be football or basketball or whatever. There's always going to be wrestling. What have you been, you know, keeping up on any of the current stuff, or are you just kind of like me where you kind of watch a lot of the old school stuff?
No, I've been keeping up with, well, are you talking about like WWE, AEW, or just wrestling in general?
Wrestling in general. Anything that's like current, that's whether it's be live or there's like Impact or something. Anything that you go, you know, online, what have you.
Well, yes, I've been. You know, I watch Raw every week. I watch NXT every Wednesday. I always tape AEW and watch it the next day. I actually watched Fighter Fest Part 2. And I'll be honest, I was impressed with both shows. I thought the Orange Cassidy, Chris Jericho match was very good. You know, that was the first time I've actually gotten to see Orange Cassidy work in an actual match. So I was very impressed. He's different. The Lucha Brothers and FTR and the 8-man tag was really a good match. You know, seeing Kenzie Page on AEW was really good. You know, I've been on a couple of shows with her. I actually got to tag with her about a year ago. I did some stuff with her at a show up in Tennessee. You know, it's good to see Keith Lee. He captured the NXT championship. You know, I met Keith Lee about, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him in 2016, because that's when me and Victor had our TV match with him and Shane Taylor.
Right. That
was their debut match in Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to see where Keith Lee has come since then, you know, and he's talented, man. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him as well. Impact, it's hard for me to watch Impact because I don't get that channel that I know of. I've been trying to find it, but it's hard to keep up with it, but I have kept up with it because of all the, you know, the rumors, the innuendos with Tessa Blanchard and, you know, Michael Elgin and all that. Ring of Honor, I'll be honest, I haven't really watched Ring of Honor, and I can't even tell you when. It's sad, too, because, you know, at one time, Ring of Honor was really taking off. You know, I remember when I was trying out for them three or four years ago, they were, like, really at the peak of their, I guess, stardom, you know. So it's really sad to see how Ring of Honor is kind of like not even on nobody's radar anymore. Like when you talk about wrestling, you don't even really hear much about Ring of Honor anymore. And you know, I really hate that, you know. So I really hope when this whole pandemic's over that, you know, they can get back out there and they can, you know, really start making some waves again. You know, I remember when they announced that they were doing the whole Madison Square Garden show for WrestleMania weekend, I think it was last year. You know, I was so excited for them that they sold out Madison Square Garden. I mean, think about that. You sold out Madison Square Garden. You know, nobody's ever done that other than WWE. So, you know, to be a small company like that to sell out the Garden is a major accomplishment. So to see where they've gone since then is really sad. You know, I guess since I really hope that they can really, like, you know, come back out and, you know, be on fire later on, if not this year, definitely next year. Mm-hmm. New Japan, you know, I know nothing's really going on with New Japan right now. But, you know, I was trying to keep up with them on, I think it was Access. But it was kind of hard to keep up with New Japan because they're like 2 or 3 months behind on that product. So it was like kind of hard to keep up with some of the action on there. But I was really getting into New Japan because, you know, a lot of the guys that were coming over to AEW or NXT were coming from New Japan. So I was trying to keep up with all that. As far as, like, stuff on the indies goes, you know, it's not a secret. There's been a lot of stuff that's come out over the past couple of weeks, you know, with all the allegations and all the rumor. The rumors as of right now, because, you know, everybody's, you know, innocent until proven guilty. It's really sad to see what's happened these past couple of weeks. And I mean, it's just really, to be honest, it's just been a sad year in general. You know, it's just really, really been a sad year. You know, it really started with the COVID-19 situation, and then, you know, WrestleMania for the first time in history not being in front of a live crowd, you know, and then to have to be able to start kind of getting back to a normal, we get hit with this whole, you know, speaking out movement, which in my opinion is not a bad thing. You know, if this stuff happened to these ladies, then speak out. Let's get rid of all the bad people in wrestling. There was even some dudes that have come out and said that they've been sexually harassed, not just by women, but by guys as well. So it's really crazy because a lot of the guys on the list I know, and a lot of the girls on these lists I know. I've been on shows with them. You know, I've wrestled some of them. You know, so it's just like it's crazy to see what's been going on. You know, I just really hope that we can get through this. You know, I remember I was telling some of the guys that I helped train, you know, you just got to be careful nowadays what you say and do, because people are so quick to record you or screenshot you or hold on to something just to have, just in case, you know, something happens, you know. And it's like I was telling them, you got to be careful nowadays because, you know, you never know who's watching you. You never know who's listening to you, you know. So you just got to be careful, you know. I was on a show not that long ago with a guy that recently got, you know, in trouble for the same thing, you know. I even know Chasen Rain, you know, from Florida, who's gotten called out over some stuff. And, you know, it's crazy because I've been on shows with him. You know, I used to wrestle on shows with him when I first got into business, you know. It's just crazy seeing what's going on, man, because it's like, you know, wrestling's already sometimes gets a bad rep, and we don't need to really add to it, you know. You don't really need to add more negativity to it. But it's like I was telling another podcast that I did 2 weeks ago, promoters got to really start watching who they allow to come to their shows. You know, if you advertise a certain person, then, well, prime example, I'm not going to say what company it was. A friend of mine is running a show tomorrow, and he was going to have James Ellsworth be on the show. Now, I kind of knew personally when I saw that he announced James Ellsworth yesterday to be on the show, I already knew there was going to be backlash, but I didn't say anything. Because I feel, you know what, that happened 2 years ago. Maybe James Ellsworth is different. Maybe he's changed. So I left it alone. I noticed today the flyer changed, and there was a dark shadow where James Ellsworth was yesterday. So I hit up Caden because Caden's on that same show tomorrow. I'm on a different show tomorrow. But Caden's on that show tomorrow, and I was asking him. I was like, hey, man, what happened to James Ellsworth? He was like, bro, I don't know. He was like, you know, I was just told that I was going to wrestle him. He's like, but I was told he's not coming now. And I told him flat out. I said, yeah, I kind of figured that was going to happen when they announced James Ellsworth. So I kind of figured there'd be some backlash because of some stuff that happened. And, you know, all it takes is one person. I guarantee you one person saw that, and it just went from there, you know. And so, like I said, I just really hate to see the state of wrestling the way it is right now, because, you know, it's the only thing we have. You know, there's no other sports running. There's no basketball. There's no baseball. There's no football, you know. And we don't even know if that's going to happen this year still, period. You know, there's talk of bringing back basketball and football, but, you know, nobody really knows what's going to happen. So, you know, wrestling's all we got. And like I say, you know, all these females that come forward and say that they've been, you know, either sexually harassed or they've been, you know, sexually assaulted. And like I said, you've had guys come out and say they've been sexually harassed and they've been sexually assaulted by a certain promoter or by a certain female. So it's, you know, like I was saying a few minutes ago, like, you know, promoters got to watch who they bring on their shows. You know, trainers have to watch who they're allowing to come train at their shows. You know, the boys need to be looking around the locker room. When you're changing, you should be observing what's going on. You know, if you see a certain guy in there, you know, talking dirty or being very disrespectful to a female talent, you need to step up and say something. You know, if there's a female talent that's going to listen to this, that, you know, was on a certain show, and, you know, if she's been, you know, sexually harassed on a show, she, you know, speak up now. You know, let's get it out in the open now. Let's go ahead and, you know, get it taken care of. You know, just not wait until, you know, years from now and then bring it back up. Let's take care of it now. You know, promoters need to stop allowing guys to allow their wives or their girlfriends or whoever in the locker rooms, you know, because I've seen that become an issue. You know, I used to be on a show where a promoter allowed people's wives or their girlfriends in the locker room. And then a couple of shows later, he's having a big meeting telling guys to keep their girlfriends and wives out the locker room because he's tired of guys hitting him up saying that they came home and so-and-so was at their house, or they caught so-and-so in bed with their wife or their girlfriend. And my thing is, we shouldn't be having these conversations, period, because your girlfriend or your wife shouldn't be allowed in the locker room with the boys while they're changing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in locker rooms to where a promoter's daughter walked in unexpectedly, did not just walked in, smile on her face because half the boys were naked. And a guy stepped up and said, you know, you don't need to be in here. And her response was, this is my father's show. It doesn't matter. You don't belong in here. This is where the boys change. Obviously, you're trying to come in here and see something that you don't see at home. It became an issue. You know, like, again, these are conversations we shouldn't even have to have. It should be common sense. You know, so, you know, this all has to really stop right here now on the indies. You know, like I said, the boys need to really start protecting the locker rooms. The boys need to start protecting the boys. You know, if you see something suspicious in a locker room, speak up. You know, if you see a promoter, or if you see a girlfriend, a promoter's wife or his girlfriend or whoever in the locker room, and she's just in there and she's just got the googly eyes, speak up, say something. You know, if you step up and you say something and a promoter gets mad at you for saying something, then maybe you shouldn't be at that show anyway. Maybe you don't belong at that show. You know, that just showed you right there that promoter does not care what goes on in his locker room. You know, and that's something that, like I said, they need to change. You know, a lot of promoters need to step up and say, hey, I'm not going to allow this anymore. You know, so, like I said, man, I just really hate, you know, the way the business has been the past couple of weeks, especially on the indies, you know, because, you know, people really only have the indies right now because we don't know when we're going to be able to go back to a live event. You know, we don't know when we'll have another live Raw, SmackDown. We don't know when we'll have another live AEW, a live Impact, a live Ring of Honor, New Japan. We don't know when those are going to be. You know, there's talk of stuff not being able to have stuff in arenas for like another year. you know. So, you know, this is all we have. So, you know, we need to really cherish this and hold on to it, you know. As far as AEW and WWE go, I've been enjoying the products. You know, yeah, sometimes the products can be a little stale. Sometimes they might not make sense. But, you know, it's there to entertain us. It's there to get our minds off of what's going on in the world. You know, in the beginning, I didn't take the whole COVID situation seriously, you know, until my mom and my aunt lost their uncle. And then my grandmother lost her friend of 70 years to the COVID-19 virus. You know, you don't really believe it until it hits home, mm-hmm. you know. And so for me, it hit home when, you know, my uncle Herbie passed, and then my grandmother's friend passed away. So, you know, for me, it was taken seriously. You know, it really got taken serious for me when some people that I work with got it, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, I can understand why WWE and AEW are taking the precautions that they are, you know. So, but I mean, I appreciate good wrestling, but I'm like you. Yeah, if I don't, you know, if I feel like I didn't really get my fix during the week, oh yeah, I'll pop on some old wrestling. I'll pop on some old, you know, WWF or some old WCW and, you know, try to get my mind off of stuff and everything. But, you know, I've really been digging some of the current product stuff. Like I said, I really enjoyed the Great American Bash. I really enjoyed Fyter Fest nights 1 and 2. I salute all of them that are still going out there and performing. You know, I respect the ones that are not wanting to perform right now. You know, I think it's just been really, it's really good to see that, you know, in this time, everybody coming together and trying to still give good quality wrestling. It's good to still see guys and girls get opportunities on both WWE and AEW, even in the time that we're in now. You know, and that was another thing, you know, with all these guys, you know, being accused of what's going on, you know, we don't know who might and might not have a job after a while. So this is an opportunity for a lot of independent wrestlers to step up and really step their game up to try to get their foot in the door. You know, we look at a guy like, you know, when I did this podcast 2 weeks ago, Sammy Guevara had just got suspended from AEW, you know. I mean, he's young and up and coming in the business. You know, we don't know what his future might be, you know. So somebody might need to step up to try to maybe take his spot just in case he's not able to come back. You know, there's a lot of guys in WWE that just got let go over the summer. You know, there's opportunities there. You know, when this is all over and done with, AEW, WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, they're going to be looking for fresh, young, hungry talent to bring in to their shows. And this is the time where everybody really, really needs to step up their game, work on their promos, get fresh gear, be ready to go when this is all over and done with, because there will be opportunities for everybody. There will be something for everybody. These companies are going to be looking for people to bring in. They're watching. You might not believe that they're watching, but they're watching, you know. So everybody just needs to be ready, because you don't know when your time's gonna get called. You don't know when you're gonna get that opportunity. You know, like I said, you know, Kenzie Page, she has been all over AEW since this thing has started, you know. So, you know, guys and girls, you really need to step up, because you know, they're not gonna wait around. And I need to mention NWA, you know, yes, they got some stuff going on because of this whole situation, but NWA is going to be looking for some fresh, hungry talent. So, you know, so guys and girls need to be ready. But me personally, I have no complaints about the current situations with AEW and WWE. I think they've been doing a great job. I think they've been bringing us great TV. All three nights of the week. And like I said, I just really glad to see that in this time of need that we still got some good quality stuff to watch on TVs on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Yeah, definitely. Can't disagree with you with that. That's definitely, it's always great to see. And another thing that it was great to see was this match we're about to watch between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart submission match from WrestleMania 13. Just probably one of the best matches, if not the best match of all time. You know, I opened up the floor to a couple to some listeners' questions. So before we get started with that, I'm just going to toss these and just kind of get those out there, see what you think about it. But my man Des from Talkamania asked, who do you think in the modern era could pull off the double turn in this in a match as successful as Bret and Austin did in this match? And could it ever be done? What do you think about that?
You know, it's crazy because when he wrote that, I thought about it, and it's tough because, you know, in this era that we're going to watch, 97, we were in the Monday Night Wars. Mm-hmm. So these guys were being told, go out there and just do you, you know, and they were able to go out there and be themselves. You know, the whole Stone Cold Steve Austin with a happy accident, let's be honest. You know, I just learned that, I mean, I just really found out, I want to say about 3 years ago, that he wasn't even supposed to win the 1996 King of the Ring. That was supposed to be Triple H. I never knew that. So that was new to me. So you got to think, that just happened right place, right time. Mm-hmm. And he came up off the top of his head with the whole Austin 316. Bret Hart, I think at that time in 96, Bret Hart was, I don't want to say people were over Bret Hart, but I think they were kind of like ready for somebody new to step up. And I think they were really hoping that, you know, Stone Cold was going to be that next guy they were going to get to step up. And I think with that, when Bret Hart came back, you know, I think those fans were a little disappointed that Bret Hart beat Austin at Survivor Series 96, you know, and then Austin got his revenge back at the Rumble, and then Bret Hart, you know, kind of was thrown right back into the title picture for this WrestleMania. I just think at this time, I think the fans are tired of Bret Hart. I think they wanted something different from Bret Hart, you know, and I think they really wanted Stone Cold. I think we could honestly say at this time, this was Stone Cold Steve Austin was the Daniel Bryan of 1997. You know, I think if you look at it, they wanted Austin. They wanted to go with Austin. They wanted Austin to be their next guy. You know, I think we got so much of Bret Hart, you know, from the Hart Foundation, then the Intercontinental Championship and the WWE Championship. I just think they were ready for something fresh and something new. So, you know, I think this double turn, I think the turn had happened a long time ago, but it really didn't happen here. And you got to think, they were in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Chicago fans are very, very vocal. You know, they're going to let you know what they like, what they don't like, and they will let everybody know they did not want Bret Hart no more. They wanted Austin. So I think at this time in 97, it was easier. In 2020, I don't know. I don't know if we can get a double turn. I mean, the only person that comes to mind, in my personal opinion, maybe we could do another situation with maybe Cody Rhodes and MJF, maybe. Mm. Hmm. You know, maybe that could be one. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, because that's kind of where I went along the lines with Cody. I also thought about, and this could go either way, you know, because he's such a good talent, because he could go heel or face, is Chris Jericho. You have him turn face and then put Cody as a heel. Granted, you'd have to have some sort of storyline to get them to that point where now, like you said, with the MJF and Cody, you could have that double turn. But I think MJF, I think he's a good talent regardless. Not a lot of people will think that or say that. But, you know, I've seen him more because he's, you know, he's a Northeast guy. But I think he does. He's one of those guys. I don't want to put him in the same category as Ric Flair, but Ric Flair was always a better heel than a face. MJF could be a great face, but I think he'd do so much better as a heel. And he has done.
Yeah, man. I think now it's just hard because, you know, like I said, you know, back in 97, you know, these guys were just going out there and just doing whatever they could. to pop that rating, to keep their company fresh. I think now in 2020, it's just so hard because everybody's so sensitive. Everybody's so censored. You know, it's really hard to really go out here to try to be the next Stone Cold, to be the next Bret Hart, to be the next Rock or Taker. I think it's just harder now to do that. You know, I mean, like I said, the business has changed so much. People are just so sensitive. People are just so judgmental. I don't know if you'd be able to really. I think a double turn could happen, but I don't know if. Trying to say this. I don't know if we're gonna be able to see it no time soon. I really believe that somebody really has to come along to have that I don't care attitude and just go out there and be themselves. You know, like I said, Austin was just trying to do whatever he could to stay on top. I think Bret Hart here, like I said, in my opinion, Bret Hart here was just the fans wanted something different. They were just tired of Bret Hart, you know. So like I said, somebody's really got to step up. You know, if somebody really steps up, then yes, I could see another double turn. But, you know, I don't know. It's really hard. You know, it's really hard. So I think it could happen, though. I do, though.
Yeah, but I also think on the to add on to this, but after this, we'll get to the next question. But I think it's going to have to give it – we have to give it some time, too. And by we, I mean, you know, the writers on their respective promotions, wherever it may happen, just to get it when it comes back with fans. Because you need the fans in the stands to get that reaction when it does happen, whether it's subtle or not. You know, you got to get that pop from the audience to know that, hey, this really got over.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, I think we kind of, in a way, we've kind of somewhat gotten it a little bit. Yeah. Over the years, let's be honest. We got it with Roman Reigns in 2015 at the Rumble. He came in as a face, but he left as a heel in the fans' eyes because they wanted Daniel Bryan. Everybody knew Roman was going to probably win it. So I think we kind of did see it, you know. But, you know, that was at a, you know, Daniel Bryan was still fresh off of the whole yes movement. So, you know, I think the fans really just wanted Daniel Bryan. So, I think we have, like I said, it can be done. When you think about it now, it really can be done. It just has to be the right two people to do that.
No, exactly. Yeah, and like I said, you got to get, you know, we had it right here with Bret and Steve Austin those are the two, obviously the two best people for the job, but so thanks to Dez for that question. Our next question comes from Travis Fowler. He says, in your opinion, can this one match save WrestleMania 13 from being the worst WrestleMania of all time? Yes, to be quite honest with you. You know what? I think – what was the main event? This wasn't even the main event. The main event was – was it Sid and Undertaker?
It was Sid and Taker. And, you know, earlier I put Isaiah down for a nap. And when I put him down for a nap, I kind of put this WrestleMania on because I wanted to prep myself for the show tonight. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch the submission match, though. But I watched the first match. I watched the Intercontinental title match. And then I went straight to the street fight. Mm-hmm. And when I really sat back and thought about it, I looked at his question. I thought to myself, I'm not going to say this was the worst WrestleMania of all time. But I think this match did save the show. Mm-hmm. You know, if you really look at this WrestleMania, you know, the show started off with a fatal four-way elimination that had never been done before. That was the first time they ever did that, and they didn't know how to do it. You could tell they didn't know how to do it. They were still trying to work out the kinks with it. They were still trying to figure out how this could all work. You know, Rocky Maivia, he wasn't over. The fans were not buying him. They didn't want to be bothered with him. They didn't care about him. So he had a good match, but, you know, When you think of The Rock's WrestleManias, you know, I think this match gets lost in the shuffle. You know, I really forgot about this match on this WrestleMania. Goldust and Hunter Hearst Helmsley, we saw that a lot, you know, up to this WrestleMania. We saw that match several times. We had just saw it at the Rumble in 97. So you see it again, it's like, you know, the only thing different was China was in the corner of Triple H. You know, that was it. The next match was for the tag title. You had two heel teams. You know, in that match, and it was like Vader and Mankind. Like, you know, it was just a weird. It was a weird tag match. You know, yeah. And the fans didn't really know who to cheer for. I mean, everybody did good. You know, but it was just weird. The street fight was really good. You know, I was a big Ahmed Johnson fan back in the day. I don't know why, but
right.
We all know the main event wasn't supposed to be what it was. Everybody knows it was supposed to be Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. But we all know what happened there. And we'll get into a little bit more of that when we watch the match. I want to say some stuff that I want to ask you for the match. Yeah. But we all know the main event was supposed to be Bret and Shawn too. And, you know, Shawn lost his smile and we got Taker and Sid. And, you know, it just makes you wonder, what if they would have went with Shawn and Bret? What would have happened to Sid? What would have happened to Taker here? What happened to Austin here? And like I said, I'm going to ask you all those different questions during the match. But I'm going to say this wasn't the worst. This is not the worst WrestleMania.
Oh, by far not.
No, it's not the worst. In my opinion, if I had to pick a worst, probably 11. In my opinion, you know, but no, 13 is not the worst. I think it's got some. We would look at if you really look at it, we were looking at the stars of the future. Because look at 13. Look at the guys from 13 to 14. The Rock. Look how much better he was at 14. Austin was in the main event of 14. You know, Triple H was coming into his own at that time, you know? So it's like, you know, you look at this one, you're like, oh, man, God. Who would have ever thought The Rock would if you watch this WrestleMania, you look at The Rock here, who would have ever thought that 5 years later, this guy was going to be main eventing WrestleManias? Or who would have thought this guy was going to be the biggest box-selling superstar and actor in Hollywood?
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you look at this WrestleMania, some people might think it's the worst, but I look at it as it was a look into the future of what we were going to have for years to come.
No, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt on that. So, Travis, thanks for that question. Our next question comes from Facebook from Andrew. I apologize. I don't want to say your last name because I don't want to butcher it. But he's going to ask, has there ever been a better special guest referee? If so, who? He's referring to Ken Shamrock, who is at this time in the UFC. He's not in the WWE just yet, but he's being the special guest referee for this submission match, and I don't think there's would have been a better guy for that type of role. But as far as anybody else, I'm just trying to think. The only one that'll ring true to me, it's a little bit more recent for current day, was when Shawn Michaels was a special guest referee for Triple H and Taker inside the Hell in the Cell at WrestleMania. I enjoyed that.
You know, when he asked that question, I had to think, like, man, who have been special referees at Mania? And I thought of Muhammad Ali, one. You got Piper. You got Piper at 10 for Bret and Yoko.
Right. Yeah, and Mr. Perfect.
Perfect with that 10 as the referee.
Yeah.
I think people forget. You know, Pat Patterson refereed the main event of 11 for LT and Bam Bam, but he had to. You know, keep Bam Bam and then keep LT, you know, on track. That was a good one. Austin for Lashley and Omaga for the Battle of the Billionaires.
Yeah.
Like you said, Shawn Michaels. If I had to pick one, though, I'm with you. It'd either be Austin for the Battle of the Billionaires or it'd be Shawn. You didn't really see a lot of special guest referees at Manias like that.
Because I even forgot about Ali at one. I totally forgot about that. And that was just time-changing with that. Because he's swinging at Piper, he's swinging at Bob Orton Sr. And I'm like, you know, for me anyways, obviously not seeing it live, but going back and watching it now, it's just like, man, what, you know, trendsenders that was to, you know,
had that first really true crossover athlete.
And it, like I said, you know, when he asked that question, I had to really think, like, man, who have been special guest referees that have been, like, really big, big referee that you remember? You got Mick Foley.
That's right.
17. Like I said, man, it's so hard. Like I said, it's you got to really think, and then if you when you mention one, you forget about another. So it's hard, man. But like I said, I think Shamrock did good here. If you look at it, they picked the right one for this match. You know, Shamrock being, you know, coming from the was it UFC at the time or was it MMA?
I think it was early. I don't know. We'd have to, you know, see what they say during the pay-per-view, during the match. But I'm pretty sure they said UFC. I'm pretty sure. But they also said that he was a trained MMA fighter, They might have said that though too. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't watched it recently. I watched it to take some notes and stuff. But. But yeah, I don't think this was what I'm trying to remember. This is 13, so this would have been. What,
97? I think Jim Ross says several times he's from the Ultimate Fighting world. I don't know if they were abbreviated as UFC yet. I know he said a couple of times he's from the Ultimate Fighting world. But they picked the right guy for the match. You know Shamrock being a submission specialist. You know, he was gonna sign with the company not too long after this. Think about it. They put him in the ring with two of the best. You know, I mean, your first day in the company, and they put you in the ring, you know, with two of the best at the referee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get no better than that. But like I said, I think I would have to go with Austin, Battle of the Billionaires, or Shawn Michaels, one of the two. Probably at this time, up until this point, Shamrock probably was one of the best to do it at this time. Yeah, there would have been nobody else better to do it other than Shamrock.
Yeah, and that's you can't go wrong with either one, that's for sure. But so, Andrew, thanks for that question. Our next question comes from Matt Willis, Matt Attack Willis from the Good Cop Bad Cop podcast over on Visionaries Global Media. There you go. They recently changed their names, and I almost said the other one, but he said, "Is the submission match between Bret Hart and Steve Austin really that good, or is it just the only thing decent about this lousy WrestleMania?" I think we already addressed that. So I didn't even realize that was part of one of the original questions. But like I said, we talked about that, this match. We've talked about, the Sid and Undertaker. And for being two of the behemoths of this generation of wrestling, I thought they did pretty good. You know, I go back to watching. Now I'm watching old WCW back in the early 90s, and I'm seeing Sid as, one of the horsemen, or seeing Sid as one of the skyscrapers. Not one of the skyscrapers, but, you know, one of those big men in WCW. So I think, like we said, there's been a lot. I think there's worse WrestleManias than this one as a whole. But I think we both can agree, and I think we did, is, you know, this did definitely save it for being pretty good.
I think when people think of WrestleManias, the first thing you want to know is what was the main event.
Right.
And again, I think Taker and Sid getting lost in the shuffle, you know, for this WrestleMania. They were both put in a bad spot, in my opinion. Like, again, it was not the original plan. You know, it was not the original idea. Sid was not supposed to walk into this WrestleMania as the champion. Undertaker was not supposed to be in the main event coming out as the champion. So, you know, if you really listen to the fans, they were really there for Austin and Bret. And then if you listen to the street fight, they were there for Legion of Doom. You know, so once they saw those two, they were done for the night. You know, much as they love the Undertaker, it was just like, all right, let's just get this over so we can go. And I hate to say like that, but if you really look at it, that's just how it was. You know, you watch the submission match. Bret and Austin did everything. You know, you look at the street fight. That was at that time, we looked at that probably as a crash and burn type match. You know, and then you got Taker and Sid having to come out and have a traditional championship match. you know, the fans at that point, the fans just saw two no disqualification matches. So now they're just like, I'm ready to go. So, you know, Sid and Taker were just put in a bad spot. You know, again, you forget Taker wins the championship. You forget this is his second reign as WWF champion at this point. You know, and it's just crazy to think that The Undertaker gets lost in the shuffle when you talk about WrestleMania 13. It's crazy to think that when you mention WrestleMania 13, you don't mention Undertaker winning the championship. You think of the submission match. Yeah. You know, you think of the double turn. It's all you think about. You know, you don't ever hear anybody going, "Hey man, you ever seen WrestleMania 13? Oh yeah, that's when Undertaker won the belt." It's, "Oh yeah, yeah, that submission match, Austin bleeding all over the place." That's what you think about, because that was the bloody face was on the cover of the magazine later that month. You know, because that's what you remember. You know, it's crazy. They say the last thing you're supposed to remember is the last thing that happened on the show, but people remember Austin and Brett's submission match, and they remember the crimson red face of Austin. So, you know, like I said, it's not the worst. You know, I think it's just, I guess you could say it was bad timing for everybody. And like I said, when we get into the match, I'll talk a little bit more about what I mean by that when I say it was bad timing.
Yeah, no, I get it 100%. And if everybody wants to get over to the WWE Network, WrestleMania 13, go over to WWE pay-per-view, drop down to WrestleMania 13, bada bing, bada boom, go to 1 hour, 21 minutes exactly. You're going to see a wide shot of, I believe this is Arrowhead Pond, one of the newer arenas out in California at this time. When you hear play, you hit play, plain and simple, guys. You know, we're not here to, you know, hurt your head when you're thinking too much, but so with a count of three and hit play, and we'll get this show on the road. So 3, 2, 1, play. So we got, like I said, Arrowhead Pond, over 18,000 people in the stands here. Arrowhead Pond. You see the Shamrock, bigger than I ever saw him in his career.
God, he's jacked.
He's still wrestling in Impact. He came back and he's teaming with Sammy Callahan coming up.
You know what's crazy? He still looks in great shape. Almost 50.
I think he's over 50 at this point.
Because he's like what? He's probably like what? Late 20s here, early 30s maybe.
Maybe early 30s. I'd say that. He was always in that good shape. Let me see Austin walking up. I think this is one of the most iconic entrances with the glass. And
my mom used to love Stone Cold. She was in love with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's. Man, he was one of the first wrestlers I was actually for Halloween. But he was just a badass.
Look at the fan. Look at that. It looks badass.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Ken Shamrock is 56 right now.
Okay, so this is, we're in 2020. Okay, yeah. So 2010, 2000. Is he 56?
Yeah, he's 56 today, yeah.
So he was like 33 here.
Yeah. So yeah, so early 30s, but like I said, he's in great shape now. For Christ, I wish I was looked like him when I was 50, when I'm 56. But just two, and even these two entrances, just two of the better entrances of all time. You know, Austin being so, Austin, mouthing off.
It's crazy. So the first thing I want to say is I just want to give, like, before we really get into the match. Let's look at, like I said, let's talk about what I want to talk about. Austin wins King of the Ring 96. Wasn't supposed to win. He wins it because of the curtain call. Triple H wasn't really supposed to be your winner. Triple H gets knocked out in the very first match as punishment. Austin gets denied. Austin becomes the man. We move up 4 months, was it 5, 6 months later? He's wrestling Bret Hart at Survivor Series. You know, Bret Hart goes over. 2 months later, he wins the Rumble. Now let's stop right there. Let's just say this. Let's say Austin won the Rumble. Let's say they go to Final Four. Bret Hart wins Final Four. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, main event of WrestleMania 13. Here's my question. What was Austin going to be doing for this WrestleMania?
How I would book it, because this has come across my mind too, is you're trying to get him over. And I would have, honestly, I would have booked him against Taker.
And that's what I was thinking. Like,
there's only that's the only guy I would, you know, because a couple guys came across my mind. It was him.
The question, what do you do with Sid? You know, what do you do with Sid? Look at that takedown. Bow. Look at that.
Oh, Austin, Jesus.
Brad said he did not know he was going to do that.
But I would even.
I did not know he was going to do that.
I would put Sid against Helmsley. Even. You know, it's kind of like you'd hate to put Sid at the mid card or something, but you know, at this point, you know, you're still trying to quote unquote punish Triple H. Put him against Sid.
And like I said, you know, it's just like when you look at the whole, like I said, we all know we all know Michaels did not want to drop the belt to Bret Hart. You know, him and Bret didn't like each other. It's not a secret. They made that very known. So it's like, okay, you say you lost your smile, so that way, you know, you don't got to drop the belt to Bret. So like I said, but let's just say that they would have wrestled here. You know, like I said, like what happens to Austin? Like you said, Taker. I thought the same thing. You know, we have seen Austin Taker for the first time here at WrestleMania, and then do you put Austin over on Taker? And then if that's the case, then what do you do with Sid? You know, what do you do about Sid for this WrestleMania? Like what happened? You know, it's just – I guess there's just so many questions you can ask yourself, you know, just about this one WrestleMania alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy to think.
Speaking of WrestleMania, we got Captain Lou Albano and Tony Atlas on the outside here in this midst of this brawl. But honestly, we can talk about Bret and Taker, or excuse me, Austin and Taker at this Mania. I think Taker this time is probably the best he ever was, potentially. He would have gotten Austin over. I really don't think that Austin really would have, quote-unquote, lost anything. He would have gotten over, I think.
It's just...
Yeah.
You know, 97 was just one of those years where it's like anything and everything could have happened. You know, you're trying to pop for WWE. They're losing. At this time, they're losing the Monday Night Wars. You know, so you know, they're doing everything they can. You know, but it's like your big dog just left the company. You know, he just mm-hmm. I'm not saying he left, but you know, he didn't want to drop the belt to one of the top guys. So, you know,
he didn't want
to
do the job.
You screwed up. Yeah, you screwed up all the plans. And Bruce Pritchard talks about that on Something to Wrestle podcast. How he mm-hmm. they had to rewrite the whole card because you know they didn't know what to do now that Shawn didn't want to do the job for Bret like Bret did for him a year earlier to this. You know, so it's just like I said, it's just crazy to think like, what if, like, what would Austin have been doing? I put something up on Facebook. I want to get your opinion. Mm-hmm. I put up on Facebook about it maybe about a month ago, because it was King of the Ring season. I put up what would have happened if Triple H would have became the 1996 King of the Ring. Would Austin have won the 97 King of the Ring, and would we have seen the birth of Austin 316? In 97, what do you think?
Well, and I think as far as Austin goes with King of the Ring, I think we would have still, you would have had to have Roberts there because I think that's really what kickstarted that. As far as Triple H, if that would have, I think we would have seen a lot more of him earlier on and less of him currently because I think he would have gotten pushed a lot earlier because of he has, whether. You like him or you don't like him, you know he can get over. He's a great worker, regardless on what you think about him. I think he still would have been fine, but like I said, it's a lot about what ifs, but you definitely have to have Roberts there to, you know, usher in Austin 316.
Boy, Brett's got some good balance there, huh?
I can't even do that sober like him, but...
I'd rather stand on the top rope and do that, and he did it like nothing. Like I'd have been shaking and everything.
But yeah, we're seeing those big blue. I usually just call those big blue with those ring steps.
just because it looked heavier than hell, and you know it hurt. They're not that light ones like today. Oh,
yeah, look how young Austin was here, man. Look how in great shape he was.
He only had one knee brace.
Yeah, one knee brace, man. I mean, it's crazy. You know, when you look at Austin, you know, when he first came into the WWF in 95, you know, he tells that he had the stupidest gimmick in the world, and he knew it was a dumb gimmick, but it was a foot in the door. You know, he knew that if he could just get his foot in the door, if he could just make this gimmick work, he knew that, you know, he could change it into something else. And just think, 6 months later, you're king of the ring, you're flipping people off, you know, you got a shirt that's selling out, you're wrestling Bret Hart, you're winning the Rumble, you're in a big spot at Mania a year later, you're the champion. I mean, did anybody other than Austin at that time have a quick jump start in the company at that time? Like, can you ever think of anybody else having that quick of a rise to fame like he did?
Well, and I think, like you mentioned previous, we had The Rock right here. It was Rocky Maivia. You go from year to year, you know, he's wrestling, you know, he's part of the Nation. He's part of, you know, this great faction that the Nation was. But that, I think that pretty much is going to be the closest one, I think, because to Austin. But Austin was basically just thrusted into it and ran with it.
And, you know, I think for Austin, it also was Bret Hart really fought for him. I think on the Bret Hart DVD, I think Bret mentioned that he told Vince for a long time, you got to get this guy because I could do some great work with him. And he wasn't lying. They really did. You know, mm-hmm. they really had some great matches. He really elevated Austin throughout the whole 97. So he wasn't lying when he made those comments that if he would have ever got this guy, he could have really done some great work because he really did. So, you know, kudos to Bret Hart for really, you know, jump-starting the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, but that, and like you said, this was the feud. This is the feud of 97, pretty much, of wrestling. And you see Bret Hart here just working on that knee brace or knee braced knee and leg of Austin. And that was one of the things why. One of the reasons why I'm happy you picked this one is just you get to – I love doing – since I've been doing this format, I love doing matches that Bret Hart's involved because he is one of the best in-ring workers, if not the best in-ring worker of all time, because you could – it's the old adage, you could have a match with a broomstick, and he can. You know, he's had matches with terrible people and got them over and made it work. But, you know, being a fairly, you know – but to use a term, fairly green Stone Cold Steve Austin, he made this one of the best matches of all time.
Let me ask you this question. When you look at this match and we look at WrestleMania 13, and I used to love the Stone Cold Stunner. God, I used to love it.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at this, like let's go back to 90, let's go right back to 1997. Uh-huh. Could you believe that in just 7 months from now, Bret Hart was going to leave the company?
Going back and looking at it now, you can start to see a little of the seeds being planted. But, you know, watching this when I – watching it live, you didn't know. You know, at this time, I was – let's see, 97, I was 13. And, you know, you didn't – you don't want to believe it because Bret Hart was – you know, Bret Hart was my dude, and he still is.
Oh, look at that. I love that.
He's the only one that can do that.
So painful. That is so painful. That is crazy.
It just looks terrible. It's just like, oh, man. Everybody that has had knee issues in the past just are cringing right now watching it. But it's just... I'm just amazed that this wasn't higher up in the card. But I get why, because you want to put the title on match on last. But, you know, we're talking about Shamrock as a referee. I don't think there was a better person to do it. But if I were to do it, he'd show up in the company later was Dan Severn.
You know, you just mentioned that you see why this match couldn't be main event because you want to put the belt on Taker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like... do you feel like sometimes, even on the indies, do you feel like sometimes you have to? Are you one of those guys like me where the championship match goes on last, or are you okay with it going on in the middle of the show? Because like right here, you know, we all like I really feel like I said earlier, the crowd. I think the crowd was really here just for this match, and then like I said, by the time they got to Taker and Sid,
the crowd
was pretty much dead and ready to go. So, do you like if you can go back and do it again? You know, you think they should have put on last? God, that chair shot.
But I would have put this on right before Sid. Is that how it was here? I think no.
Yeah. It was this match, Street Fight, and Sid and Taker. So would you have done Street Fight, submission match, and Sid and Taker?
I flip flop. Yeah. The Street Fight and the Sid. Because the thing is though, with this, the fans are getting hot no matter what with this match for obvious reasons. They would have still stayed hot for Taker and Sid. You know, for like I said, for me anyways, I love Sid and Taker personally, but there's, you know, the live fans here. Clearly, if you watch this after the fact, watch the Sid and the Taker match, but they weren't. They were dead, like you said, because they got the comedic pre-taped, I believe, match of the Street Fight. Because that was 12. But this wasn't Goldust and Piper, no. That was 12, right?
That was 12, yeah. No, yeah. They got after this match, they got the Nation Domination versus LOD and Ahmed Johnson.
LOD, that's what it is. That's what Street Fight. I got it mixed up.
It's okay. But no, like I said earlier, you got to think you gave them Brett and Austin, mm-hmm. Then you gave them LOD. That's what they were there for, you know.
Right.
And I, you know, and like I said, yeah, you know, you got Taker. You know, I guess they figure, okay, well, they'll stay for Taker. But like I said, you know, when you're giving them the match they want to see, and then you're giving them the hometown boys of LOD, the fans are done at that point. They're ready to go. Right. They saw what they wanted to see. You know, they can really, in their mind, well, we can care less who wins. You know, but I guess they also figured having Sean come out and do commentary, the fans would stay. I guess they felt like the girls would go crazy, which they did. But I'm like you. I think that if you would have put this match on last, you still could have got to where you wanted to go with Taker and Sid. But I guess when you look at it, Bret Hart did a couple of run-ins in that match. So, you know, I don't know.
No, I think you could do it either way, to be honest with you. And it's hard to say, you know, whether this be the main event. We got him in a double Boston Crab there, i.e., the Walls of Jericho that it would be later on. If anything, this would have main evented, I would have put Sid and Taker before it. So I would either one would have worked because, you know, you wanted them to be hot for it no matter what. But yeah, look at this. The position by Shamrock, I think, really sold this match a little bit more too. The way he gets down and into the moves.
You know what's even crazier is I've learned so much from the Something to Wrestle podcast with Bruce Pritchard, and they were talking. I remember they did a whole episode on the Royal Rumble 1997, and they even Pritchard even says Bret Hart was originally supposed to win that Rumble, but Vince Russo at the time was doing Livewire. He gave it away that Bret Hart was winning the Rumble. And he said Vince threw a fit because he gave away the finish. Like, he legit said, Bret Hart is going to win. I know he's going to win. So they had to switch it up. So, you know, it's like, you'll never have the answer to the questions you really want, I guess, huh?
No, not really. But you also have to take, he had to take it to come. Okay, is he really telling the truth, though? You know what I mean? Like I said, not seeing it live like I did, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, is he really going to win? But, like, you don't want to take the chance.
Well, I think Russo said that he only said that because he was doing it like a fan. Like, they were, like, getting his opinion. Like, who do you think is going to win? He said Brett. And I guess they felt like he shouldn't have said that because – it kind of gave it away. Like, he should, I guess they felt like he should have said like a Austin or a Taker or somebody was gonna win. I guess they felt like when he said Brett, the fans kind of knew right then and there, because he was writing the magazine and stuff, that
Bret Hart
was gonna win it. So yeah, and Austin said he didn't tell nobody he was gonna gig. He told him that he got busted open for real, so they let him slide. But I think he came out years later and said he gigged.
Well, no, but the thing is, with Bret Hart, he wanted him to throw him into the. I always thought for the longest time he got hit right there on the top of the rail. That's how I thought he got it. That's always, even watching this match, time and time again on the VHS. This is one of the VHSs I had. WrestleMania. Watch it time after time and time, wearing it out. I always thought he got hit on that top rail.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, nowadays a lot of guys don't want to bleed, and a lot of guys are scared to wrestle guys that they do bleed. I remember a couple of years ago, out here in North Carolina, there's a show, AIWF Mid-Atlantic. It's another show that I do on a regular, and it's another show that I help book at. And I remember I was the AIWF World Cruiserweight Champion, and it's an all-cage show that they do. That's why they call it Deal with the Steel. And I remember that was my first time doing an all-cage type event. And I remember I knew all the guys on the show were going to bleed. And I'm not going to say no names, but there was one guy that I knew was going to bleed that I did not want to wrestle after if he bled, because a certain place that he worked at, he would always hook up with different ladies after his work was done. And he would always tell us about the different girl that he would go home with, and et cetera, et cetera. And I remember I went up to the promoter and I was like, listen, bro, I want to go on first. I said, because I refuse to wrestle after so-and-so. I said, because he's always bragging about all the different girls that he's messed with and slept with. And I'm not trying to catch nothing. And I said, I know I'm still green. And I was only like 4 years in the business. And I was like, I know I'm still green. I said, but I just can't do it. I was like, I don't know who he's been messing with, blah, 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 blah. Can I just go on first? And they let me go on first, and they understood. And, you know, everybody after my match bled. Everybody. My match was the only match that had no blood. And he was like, I understand why you didn't want to do that. He's like, I fully respect that. Because, you know, it's just nowadays, God, you know, it's not safe like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's blood is not, you know, you just don't know. And it's sad to say that, but, you know, it's just how it is nowadays, man.
Well, you know, like you said, people are just bleeding to bleed, you know?
And that's another thing. That's another thing. You're right. Exactly right there.
It's like, you're not telling. My thing has always been with blood, especially, and this is a perfect example. It has to be done in a good way that you don't know how it happened, one. And two, it has to be done well enough to go along with the story of the match. You know, you get somebody gets hit over the head with a light tube. It doesn't tell a freaking story. It just tells you that you're stupid and you get hit in the head with a light tube. You know what I mean?
That's it.
But like I said, if that's how you wrestle and that's how you make money and that's how you want to wrestle, fantastic. I commend you. What have you, but you know, it's not for everybody. But I still at the same time respect you. But just another thing that I respect is just this, just whipping him in sternum first. I don't think anybody's ever done it that well.
And he takes it flush, man.
Yeah, he doesn't goof around
every time. Like, he takes it, and it's just that hurts. And I've tried it, it hurts, man.
There's no easy way to take it, though, is there?
No, there's not, man. It's, you know, no matter how you do it, it's going to hurt. Like, you take it at chest first like that, you know, it's going to hurt you. But Bret Hart was that worker, man. I mean, I don't care what nobody says, you know. I mean, people say, you know, he wasn't the best there is, but that was Owen. Yeah, Owen was a good worker, but, you know, Bret really was crisp. You know, Bret was really a crisp worker. You know, everything he did was solid. Everything was, like, Bret Hart looked believable. Like, even his punches looked believable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he put you in the sharpshooter, you really believe that you were hurting in that move. I mean, you'll see it in a little bit when he puts Austin in it. I mean, it looks believable. You know, so, I mean, you know, Bret was that dude.
But what do you think right now? McMahon's thinking right now with all this blood right now. He's got to be crapping bricks.
Like I said, they didn't know he was gonna bleed. He probably thinks he gigged hard himself. Way. But like I said, Austin for years said it was the hard way. I think he waited until after he got out of the business to know. I gigged, Keith, but I think up until this, I don't think he ever told anybody because they really wanted to for the spot.
Mm-hmm. Here's another spot here too. This always popped me.
No more either nowadays. You can't choke nobody with a cord.
No. Or even hit each other with the freaking bell on the head, you know? Get those headshots. Nobody wants those anymore.
No. And here comes.
Here it comes.
Here comes what everybody remembers, man.
But it's just a 20-minute match, and goes by so quick, man.
Look at that. Look at that. You believe he's in pain. Look at that.
Yeah.
You really believe Austin is in like some serious pain right now.
Yeah. You know, but even as much as Hart's revving or wrenching it in, Austin's selling like a champ.
All right, give me one. Sharpshooter, Scorpion, Deathlock.
Sharpshooter. Sting probably did it first. Me, probably. I was always a WWF kid growing up. I was always a Bret Hart fan growing up. I respect Sting more than anything. But I didn't really learn Sting until later, later in his career.
I tell you what, the next time we do a podcast, we gotta watch Sting and Bret Hart. I want to get your opinion on some of those on that one too.
Oh, from WCW. Look at that.
Yes, sir. Look at that. Oh my gosh. Like, look, you really thought he was gonna break it. You really believed he was gonna break it. Look at that. You really thought he broke it. And then you look at it, it's like, no, he didn't. But look at the guy in the front row. Look at him. He stood up and he really look at that. You believe. Brett had him.
Oh man.
Look at this, man. You could have ended Mania with that. That could have been. You would remember that. You would have ended WrestleMania like this. You would remember that for everything.
Well, but like we said, then he's out.
He's out.
Get him off. But the thing is, I think regardless, and we said this too. We mentioned it. Regardless, you're going to remember this WrestleMania for this match, regardless, on what's going on after this. I think we both can agree is that this should have main evented, but it like I said, it is what it is. We could always have that what if scenario. But
look at the fans there. Look at the fans. They're flicking them off. I never noticed that. There's a couple of fans flicking them off. Like they're pissed.
But they're also talking about this. The old adage rumor that was this is when the Attitude Era started. Okay, could be it, but everybody thinks too that Austin started the Attitude Era with stunning McMahon. It could be, but I really thought it started right around this time.
I think right here, I'm with you. I think it really did. I mean, right after this, they really started going in a different direction. Austin really amped up his character.
Grab a leg.
There he is.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Would you have thought? Did you ever want to see a Shamrock and Hart match?
Say it again.
Would you ever wanted to see a Shamrock? I don't know if they did down the road, but did Bret Hart and Shamrock?
You know something? I think that.
I don't know if it was later in WWE. They might have later on.
Did they ever have a Bret Hart Shamrock match? I have to go back and look.
I'd have to too because it's kind of bugged the crap out of me. But because we said, it's like Hart's out of here within a year. Shamrock would have been here until I want to say the Shamrock was till 2000. Well,
you know, Bret Hart. You know, Bret Hart did say that he was he even wanted to drop the. I mean, I'm guessing Bret Hart had a lot of respect for Shamrock because Bret Hart did say that he told Vince that he would drop the belt to Shamrock the night after Survivor Series. But I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know if that. I mean, so I have to go back and look and see. I don't remember a Bret Hart Shamrock match.
Yeah. But we're seeing Bret Hart going walking back here with flicking off the fan.
Not the worst stunner ever coming up, or is it just me?
No, that was pretty bad. I don't know if that was worse or, you know, the when he stunned McMahon was
worse. That looked painful.
Oh yeah, it looked But I, the thing is, I think too, and you know whether I'm playing into it or not, I really think he's trying to sell. You know, the leg, you know, he's trying to sell it. So it's not going to be the best stunner, you know, that, that it could be.
I don't know. I just know this. I haven't watched this match in a while, you know, and I forgot how good this match was. I forgot how good of a seller Austin was for this match.
Oh, yeah. But
I mean, these fans, I mean, I can't hear because I got it on mute, but. You know, I mean, he looked. I mean, you do. I mean, if you really think about it, you kind of do feel bad for him. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, a guy passed out. He's limping. You want to cheer him. You want to. I mean, you have to cheer him. That's the sad part. You have to cheer him right now.
Well, yeah, because you should feel bad for him. But the thing is, though, what you're not gonna realize is, though, he's not gonna give a rat's ass. You know what I mean? That's what he's gonna live up to. You know, just after this and going forward too, he could you boo him, you'll cheer him. He doesn't give a rat's ass.
That is crazy, man. I really forgot how good of a match that was. Like I really forgot. And like I said, you know, it's not 13 is not one of the WrestleManias I go to during WrestleMania season. You know, like I say because it's not one of my favorites, but you know, I might have to go back once a year now just for that match, just to watch the match alone.
Get that watch party that marathon during WrestleMania season. Just go there for that match. But yeah, I know there's your counterpart there, one Mr. Jay-Z Flair. This is his favorite match of all time. So this one was definitely playing up to him. I know he watched it a couple times for his show. So.
There, bro. This was the match, and Austin even said this was the match that really made him who he was. You know, that really got him to that next level. I think this is the match that also Vince realized that he had a superstar in his hand. I don't think Vince was really sold on Austin just quite yet. So,
you haven't really seen too much of, you know, something to say, hey, we're gonna strap the rocket to this guy. You know what I mean?
It's just. It's hard. You know, like I said, you got a guy like Bret Hart. You know, you got guys like Taker here. So, I mean, I could see where Austin really had to step his game up in a match like this. Because, like I said, you got Shawn Michaels. I mean, you knew Shawn Michaels was going to come back. You know, mm-hmm. you got Undertaker. You got Sid. You know, you got Vader. You had all these guys that you knew that any moment could have just jumped right in front of you. So, you also
got Kane coming, too.
I mean, you had Kane coming. You had the Patriot. He was gonna come a couple of months after this. I mean, like I said, it's crazy to believe that you watched how good of a match this is. You know, in a couple of months from now, you're gonna get the Team Canada versus Team USA or Canada versus USA, and then, like I said, in November, Bret Hart's gonna be gone. You know, Bret Hart's gonna be gone from the WWE. You know, so it's crazy to see like what happened in the beginning. The year and then how the end of the year, how the year ended for Bret, but that was a good one, man. I think we picked a good one. Like I said, we got to get that Sting Bret Hart next time. I think I got some questions for you on that one.
Oh yeah, sure. Definitely. I'm looking to do a lot more WCW too, because you know that's one of those things where there's a lot of hidden gems in there with WCW. You just got to make sure you got to dig to the right era and dig to the right pay per views, but. But like I said, lastly, appreciate you coming on first and foremost. You know, just plug stuff that you got coming up, ways people can get a hold of you, social media wise, and go from there.
Well, you know, same old, nothing ever changes. You can catch me on Facebook at James Anthony. You can catch me on Twitter at 87 James Anthony. You can catch me on Instagram at 1987 Jam. My YouTube channel, it's been a little dry lately because, you know, there's not really been much going on, but I have added some new content on there. I'm on YouTube at Voodoo. That's VOODOOKM21. You can catch me this weekend if you're in the North Carolina area. I'll be in Wilmington, North Carolina for UPWA. Next weekend, I'll be in Lumberton, North Carolina for RWC. And then the end of this month, I will be in Bristol, Tennessee for All Pro Wrestling on July 25th. And then I will be at... Oh, no, excuse me. I take that back. I will be in let me check my calendar. I'm going to get them by the wrong dates here. I got so much coming up. There, here it is. July 24th, I'll be in Bristol, Tennessee for All Pro Wrestling. And then on July 25th, I'll also be in Bristol, Tennessee for Rated R Wrestling. And then on July 26th, I'll be in Maryville, Tennessee in Revolutionary Wrestling Alliance, RWA. But there are rumors of Tennessee supposedly shutting down some stuff now that the holidays, that now the 4th of July weekend's over. I don't know how true that is because I do know some friends of mine are still running shows and there have been actually no further announcement about the state shutting that down. So if that does change, just look on my social media post. For any changes or any cancellations. But other than that, you know, like I said, man, I love coming on. Like I said, I got to get back on. You know, maybe next time I should, maybe, you know what? Let's try to do something for October. That way, because that match with Bret Hart and Sting was Halloween Havoc. So let's try to shoot for October to get me back on so we can that and get them down about that.
Put it right on the calendar now. That's not too far out.
That's like 3 months from now. I think we could do that.
by three months, it'd be a long time for some people. But thanks, man, so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to sit and chat with you. Hopefully things will start looking up for, you know, for the independent scene, and hopefully we'll get to see what you got to bring for your wrestling.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, man. You guys, you go out there and you support Ringside Rant. RJ does a great job with his podcast. He's not telling me to say that. I'm just saying that to say it. So give him a like on Facebook, Twitter, wherever he's got Ringside Rant on social media. Give him a shout out, man. Get on his podcast. Let him hook you up. Let him get you over more than you ever been before.
A big thank you goes out to Mr. James Anthony for coming on the Ringside Rant again. We got another date in November, so stay tuned for that. If you're not following him on social media, head over there right now and follow him. He's a great follow, great guy, and a great, great professional wrestler. But if you head over to powerslam.tv right now and use the promo code RINGSIDERANT, you'll get your first 30 days free. Thanks to our friends over at Powerslam TV. Also, head over to whatamaneuver.net and get your Ringside Rant merchandise right now. Anything you can think of, hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts, tank tops, especially in this hot, hot weather, head over there and get one right now, just like my boys over at Brotherly Love Podcast did last week. So head over to whatamaneuver.net and check out the great, great Ringside Rant store. Head over to Full Press Coverage and download their app to listen to this show, as well as my boys over at Talkmania right now, thanks to Full Press Coverage. Head over to reapersbrew.com and get your great, great coffee grounds as well. Follow them on Twitter at Reapers Brew. Few shout outs this week as well goes out to Turbo, Pedopolis, Mr. Jeffrey Cross, Talkmania. Another big shout out to Jeff and Scott over at Fully Posable, Mike Farrell over at Chaos Theory Podcast, Breaker and Bane's Power Hour, the Highly Opinionated Podcast, all the boys over at the Visionaries Global Media Network, Saved by the Pod, the Jay-Z Flair Show, This Is the NWA, Badlands Podcast, my man J.D. Hoop, who does these great graphics for these shows and so many other shows. Follow him on Twitter at J.D. Hoop, 702. These Wolves for this song, Worth the Pain, as well as my boys on the West Coast over at Ravenscroft. The two-man power trip of wrestling, Kyle Masters, Tiff, No Holds Barred Network, and the All Elite Podcast, the Meat Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Meats and Tweets. If you're an amateur griller, if you're a veteran griller, check them out. Fantastic content they have out there right now. All to the Ohio players. Too many of you to name. Thank you very much. The Fig family. One Fig family. One Fig community. Thank you very much for tuning in this week to the Ringside Rant. A great, great show this week and going forward. So go over and subscribe wherever you get podcasts, as well as full press coverage. Check out the merchandise store. I appreciate it. A lot of new stuff and a lot of great stuff is here to come on the Ringside Rant. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Have you ever tried to explain why there's so much blood on those tissues in the garbage can in the bathroom to your partner? Well, times like that are over, thanks to my friends over at Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job, so you can trim up the hedges to satisfy your partner. The new Lawnmower 3.0 is designed with a compact shape for easy maneuvering while wet or dry, because let's face it, guys, everything is better when it's wet. It is also featuring precision engineering blades for a safe trimming in, well, let's say those sensitive areas, so you don't have to curse every time you try to shave. So go over to manscaped.com right now and use the promo code Ranters Nation to get 20% off your entire order and free shipping. That's amazing, isn't it? Free shipping in addition to 20% off by just visiting manscaped.com and using the promo code Ranters Nation.